The World This Week, Politics.
Various countries, including Egypt, Pakistan and Turkey, said they were willing to mediate between America and Iran, with Pakistan saying it was ready to host talks. Donald Trump had earlier backed down from a threat to strike Iran's energy facilities. He claimed several times that talks were underway with Iran and producing results. Iran denied that any such dialogue was taking place, but that messages were being conveyed via friendly countries. America has reportedly put forward a 15-point peace plan. The Pentagon ordered additional troops to the Gulf, according to reports. Thousands of Marines are already en route to the region. The Strait of Hormuz remained largely closed to shipping, though Iran said it would allow vessels from friendly countries to pass. Iran executed three young men in connection with the demonstrations that swept the country earlier this year. They are thought to be the first formal executions of any protesters detained during the unrest. More are expected. Observers said it was a sham trial. Israel announced that it would establish a security zone in southern Lebanon, policed by Israeli troops, in order to curtail Hezbollah's activities. Soldiers blew up bridges crossing the Litani River around 20 kilometers, that's 12 miles, north of the Israeli border to secure the area. Hezbollah, which is backed by Iran, agreed on paper to a ceasefire in 2024, but launched missiles at Israel again recently. Many observers think Israel will now be seen as an occupying force in the south. Meanwhile, the Iranian ambassador was ordered to leave Lebanon a few days after the Lebanese prime minister said that Iran's Revolutionary Guards were directing Hezbollah's operations in the south. The Asian Development Bank announced a financial support package for member countries to help mitigate the economic impact of the Iran war. Sri Lanka became the first country to tap the program. The Philippines declared a national energy emergency. The country gets almost all of its oil from the Gulf. The President, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., said that nothing is off the table as the government seeks new sources of oil and imposes measures to ensure economic stability. Russia attacked Ukraine with 948 drones, its biggest assault on the country over a 24-hour period since the conflict began 4 years ago. Volodymyr Zelensky, Ukraine's president, said Russia had been emboldened by America's conflict with Iran. Meanwhile, Russia reportedly suspended operations at its oil export hubs at Primorsk and Ust-Luga on the Baltic Sea after they were struck by Ukrainian drones. Several weeks of coalition negotiations loom in Denmark after an indecisive general election. Mette Frederiksen, the Prime Minister, and her Social Democrats won the most votes but fell short of a majority. She will try to form a government with a left-wing bloc of parties but will also need backing from the moderate party. Greenland featured as an issue in campaigning, but voters expressed most concern about immigration and welfare. A proposal in Italy to introduce minor changes to the judicial system was roundly rejected by voters at a referendum. The proposed changes sought to separate the career structure for judges and prosecutors and rejig the bodies that oversee them. The right-wing government backed the reforms, claiming they would make the judiciary more independent. The opposition turned the vote into a plebiscite on Giorgia Meloni, the Prime Minister. It was her first big defeat since taking office in 2022. In France, the candidate, backed by the populist right National Rally, won the mayor's office in Nice, the fifth biggest city in local elections. But the party failed to win its prized targets of Marseille and Toulon. The socialists kept control of the mayoralty of Paris, where their candidate, Emmanuel Grégoire, defeated Rachida Dati, a conservative former minister of culture. During the campaign, Mr. Grégoire kept his distance from the far left, which faces accusations of anti-Semitism. In Belgium, soldiers began patrolling Jewish areas following several anti-Semitic attacks, including the explosion of a device outside a synagogue in Liège. Two men were arrested in London for setting fire to ambulances operated by a Jewish charity. The vehicles were set ablaze in Golders Green, an area with a large Jewish population. The ambulances served the whole community. Sarah Mullally was installed as the Archbishop of Canterbury, becoming the first female primate of the Church of England and ceremonial head of the worldwide Anglican community. In another first, the BBC appointed someone from the world of big tech as its new Director General. Matt Britton is a former executive at Google. He takes over from Tim Davey, who resigned over allegations of editorial bias at the BBC, including selective editing of a documentary to show Donald Trump in a worse light. The Taliban government in Afghanistan released an American it had held in captivity for over a year. Dennis Coyle lived in the country as a language researcher. His family say he was not charged with any crime. Earlier this month, America's State Department designated Afghanistan as a state sponsor of wrongful detention. Iran was given the same designation shortly before America launched its attack on the country. A military plane carrying 128 passengers crashed on takeoff in Colombia, killing at least 69 people. Gustavo Petro, the president, seemed to suggest that bureaucratic problems were partly to blame for holding up his plans to modernize the armed forces, though he gave no actual cause of the accident. The Senate confirmed Mark Wayne Mullen as Secretary of Homeland Security, as Congress continued to haggle over a funding deal to end a partial shutdown of the department. The impasse has left airport security workers unpaid, leading to staff shortages and long queues at airports. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers have been sent to help ease the disruption. The Democratic candidate won a special election in the Florida State Legislature District that includes Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home in Palm Beach. A Republican had carried the district by 19 percentage points just 2 years ago. The swing underscores Democrats' growing strength ahead of November's midterm elections.